This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
BTSL back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. In case you missed anything from the show, check it out on the free Odyssey app or the podcast versions of the show, which will be uploaded as we go here, BT. There's a lot going on. We discussed the Yankees and Gerrit Cole and Juan Soto and trading Giancarlo Stanton. We've obviously discussed the Giants and, you know, got into the Malik Nabers stuff. We had Jermaine Illuminor on as well. A little bit of Jets. We just did some football with Baldy. We'll have a new segment on the BT and Sal show coming up at 1:20 where we go around the NFL and give you our hottest takes from the week in review in week 9. And we got some other stuff we want to get to. The Knicks a little bit as well. But, you know, the main topic of the day, how the Yankees are going to change things this year. Cole back, that's great. You know, opted out, whatever. Now he's opted back in. To me, that's the first domino, the first piece of the puzzle, which was kind of a given. We knew that that was going to be the case. Now it's going to be Soto. And then from there, how do they build out a different, better baseball team? Can the Yankees do that?
Well, how you do that is basically do the opposite of what you've done lately. And honestly, I'm just whatever you've done, whatever you've subscribed to from a baseball theory point of view, start doing the opposite. And listen, that's not to minimize them getting to the World Series and giving Yankee fans a month of, I mean, really, when you win 94 games and win the American League and number one seed, yeah, I mean, it was a fun season, but I'm talking big picture for the Yankees. So basically, just start doing the opposite here. And, you know, I've leaned on, you've heard me say this a few times, hey, it doesn't change until it changes. Well, nothing changes until you realize that it's time to change how you do it. So we can sit here, and we have, and I've given you, whether it's Christian Walker, whether it's Bregman at third base, obviously putting it Jazz. And this was, I said Jazz over to second base a few days ago before I knew for sure, though strongly thinking they wouldn't pick up Torres' option, which they did not, thank God. But these are things that you could do to try to become a little bit more, you know, physically dynamic and a little bit, you know, a little bit more reliable catching the baseball. And I think if you do that and you retain Soto, I think, you know, there's no guarantees, but I think you're a better team. And if you lose Soto, if the Mets outbid him, if the Dodgers get nutty, if the Giants get nutty, whatever might happen, then I think there's an even clearer path because they will be motivated, especially if the Mets get him, motivated to spend that money. And I think their two biggest weaknesses on paper, probably left field as well, because I don't think they bring back Verdugo. Who's playing first? Who's playing third? If you don't bring back Soto, bang, Walker's playing first and Bregman's playing third.
I think we see it a little differently in that regard, where I think their biggest weaknesses are Giancarlo Stanton and DJ LeMahieu, having those guys on the roster. I would have said the same thing about Torres. I did say the same thing about those three going into last year. I'm not going to let one postseason fool me again into thinking Giancarlo Stanton is going to be productive throughout the course of the year or even in the postseason. I'll lose the homers, and I want to come up with a player who can put the bat on the ball, sack fly, run from second, and score on a base hit from in scoring position. I mean, there's a reason why it's been the phrase for years. Runners on second base is in scoring position. Well, generally it means because in the big leagues, you get a base hit, the runner can score from second base. Somebody who could play defense, run the bases. I'm not trying to pick on Giancarlo Stanton. I just think he is the primary symbol for how the Yankees are poorly built. And I never liked it in 2018. I certainly don't like it 7 years later as he gets older. And I continue to see the Yankees do the same thing year after year. Gleyber is gone. They've moved on. I think they're going to upgrade in that regard, whether it's Jazz at second, bringing in a third baseman, or just better ball players. Mm-hmm. They need to rid themselves of Giancarlo Stanton and LeMay. If you could save the money, sure, more so saying, like, I'd look to trade him. If you can't, just cut him. And, you know, hey, they're the New York Yankees. Build. You don't want to get rid of Soto, so pay him, and then you have to figure out a way to make it better if you want to win now. Otherwise, it's going to be a strip it down and wait situation. You either are worried about the payroll and the luxury tax threshold, or you're trying to win a World Series. The way the Yankees are constructed, unfortunately for them, like Hal may be, right, BT, you don't need to spend $300 million or whatever to win a World Series, but they do because of the way that they've been built here with the contracts that they already doled out that aren't very good.
Well, it's far from optimal, that's for sure. I mean, think about what I was saying back in 2022, and Yankee fans said, I was like, well, why is he saying this? Like, I remember saying many times on the station, I want to see the Yankees hemorrhage, because if it gets that, if it gets that gory, if it gets that bloody, I thought that they would do what I said that they should do back then, and they would find a way to buy out Stanton. I know he's got the no trade. Trust me, we know that. But try to, you know, convince him, hey, it's probably
you
time
can
to move
on from him.
Correct.
I don't care if he's got the no trade or not. There is a way out of Stanton. You either eat the money and move on, or you figure out a way, maybe he'd go to any team.
I agree.
There's a way to do it.
No, I agree. And I was saying this back in 2022. I don't know if he'll be okay with it, but if not, then you got to figure out another solution. Maybe you got to play hardball. Maybe you have to play hardball with him like you played hardball with Gerrit Cole. Hey, listen. You know, now it's a little different because the money's the money and nobody's taking a penny away from Stanton, and he doesn't have the option to opt out or in. So it's not exactly the same, but if you love being here, even if you do love being here where Cole, they really used that leverage there and it worked out. I think that when I go back to my thought process in 2022, they just needed better hitters. Like, it was a lineup that was weak. What they were running out there was so substandard outside of Aaron Judge, and they went in and they got Juan Soto. So now, eventually they got Soto. It didn't win them a championship, but it put them eventually 2 years after that in a better spot. I think now that for the first time, through their thick heads, they realize that we've got to change how we build this. And I don't know what that entails in terms of the money. I know what they usually say about the money. I get that. But I would think, Sal, that they are as open to anything that we've said on this station for years. Like, if it's not now, when? Right. Judge is 33, Cole's 34. Let's go.
So do you think that they acknowledge that Stanton is part of the problem as far as roster construction and building a baseball team?
I think that in their private thoughts, they do. But I also, here's where I'll push back.
I don't know if I do.
Okay, well, you might be right. No, honestly, they might be enthralled with the home runs.
Correct.
They could be. Could be. But when he got thrown out at home and you see the visual of him literally jogging, like, they have to know that that's just unacceptable, that he's no longer physically resilient enough to be that guy in the postseason. Now, I don't think that they'll have the appetite to buy him out. I don't think that they'll do that yet.
You're asking a lot, I know.
But I do think that they finally might be a little okay with trying to do things, multiple things, to circumvent having to have him be as important as he has been. And if you get that, that's kind of in between, and I think you can win with in between.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Alan is calling from New Hyde Park. What's up, Alan? Alan, you there? John is calling from Rockland. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick football note. I like to see two teams that never won a Super Bowl get in. I like to see the Vikings and my other New York team, the Buffalo Bills, who I'm rooting for Josh Allen.
Yep.
Then get into the Juan Soto thing. I play sports my whole life, and here's one guy who's he's not a go-getter. He's a showboater. He's all offense, very limited defense. I would not sign him. I would reconstruct the team and go after a Walker, a Bregman at third. You close up the lines and you get pitching. You get Max Fried or you get Corbin. Verdugo's gone. What's his name? Torres is gone. And you rebuild the team. The National League, I believe, in 2024 were 14-2 against the Yankees throughout this year. The Yankees need to rebuild their team.
Right. Thank you for the call, John. We appreciate that. But now you're getting rid of their best offensive player. In your scenario, you're trying to rebuild the team, which they do need to rebuild, but the reality is they should be doing it with Soto. Like, there was a thought process of, hey, they need a lot of work here to this team. How are they going to do that with paying Soto? Well, you know what? That should be their problem. That's not ours. You can't let your arguably your best offensive player go, and he was the best offensive player throughout, because I'm counting the postseason as well. He's a machine. He's proven in the postseason. He's proven in New York. Judge is not proven in the postseason yet. Much I love him, much as he's a better player, he's not. So now you're going to
Push back. I wish I could.
Now you're going to take Soto out of this mix and think, oh, yeah, Walker and Bregman. No, like, you need Soto and then either Walker or Bregman. And then get rid of Stanton. Like, to me, the bigger issue is Giancarlo, not Stanton. Not paying Soto.
You gave me a Mets lineup the other day.
Yeah. Yo, you want to do Yankee one?
I'm going to mess around with one here for a second. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, your wish list, Yankee?
No, a middle ground, okay. No Soto. Can you piece it together and maybe be better without Soto? You ready?
Right.
Now, there's some leaps of faith in here. Volpe leading off.
Yep.
Jazz batting second.
Okay.
Judge batting third.
Yeah. Where do you have him playing? Just curiosity.
I don't know. Okay. I mean, you know where
we
I want
get
him.
To but, that. Yeah.
So, Judge three, mm-hmm. All right? Wells four.
Yep.
Remember, they took off when he was in the four hole a year ago. I think he's only going to get better. Let's see. So now you got Volpe, Jazz, Judge. Speed, stud, lefty power.
Yeah.
Bregman, five.
Okay.
Or actually, Christian Walker, five.
Okay.
Bregman, six.
Ooh, Walker and Bregman.
Okay. Yeah, but again, there's no Soto.
Okay.
Bregman, six. Now I'm missing my DH.
Left field and right field.
Yeah. Stanton, seven. Or you could even do Stanton 6, Bregman 6, and Bregman 7.
Stanton DH, okay.
And when Stanton gets hurt, obviously you mix it because he will get hurt. Left field, I bring back Verdugo on a year.
Don't hate it.
And then 9, I've got Dominguez. Or Dominguez 8, Verdugo 9.
And now
so suddenly, Sal, think about it.
Of the 9, so Judge in right, Dominguez in center. Okay.
Yep, of the 9 players, Volpe can run, Jazz can run. I mean, Judge can run, he's not going to steal, but he's good on the bases.
Not as bad of a defensive outfield. Again, I don't know what Dominguez is exactly. I can't imagine he's good in center field based on what we saw, you know, in left field.
But he didn't look like that when he first came. I don't know what the hell happened to him in the outfield.
But still, you got Judge and right. Judge and right is an upgrade.
Yes.
And Verdugo and left is still, in your scenario here, still good. He's a good defensive
outfielder. And I think Dominguez would defensive, from a metrics perspective, would be an upgrade over Judge in center, even though he didn't catch a pop-up.
Right.
Not to Judge when we needed it. But, you know, Dominguez was a disaster. There's no way that's him. And if it is, then he's just never going to be good. So now I'm banking on a few things here. I'm banking on
Volpe lead off.
Well, that's
Jazz
the thing.
Second.
That's the I have no problem batting Jazz second. Obviously, Volpe, I don't know who he's going to be. We've hit this a million ways. You think he could be a superstar? I'm less convinced, but I do think he could be a solid player. 265, 270, 30 is steals, 22, 23 home runs, 20. Like, he's good. He's good.
I know, but Jazz second.
Bregman second. There's flexibility. I'm just thinking Jazz runs.
I get it. I'm not.
What
I'm
about
Austin
Wells second?
Think about you going off of Glaber, Soto, Judge.
Yeah, but hold on. Glaber for the year didn't do much until the final 2 months of the season.
I know, but in the postseason.
I understand they still didn't win. And they scored 24 in 5 World Series games. So, no, and again, Glaber did hit. I'm not trying to be unfair to Glaber.
I can live with Volpe there because I do believe Volpe's got tremendous potential. Now, at some point, he's got to reach that potential.
That's why I'm saying, I'm trying to be fair.
I like Jazz, too, but go ahead.
All right, well, Volpe runs, power, whatever. Jazz runs, power, 1-2. Judge, superstar, 3. Wells, 4. You know, Walker, power, great fielder at first base, 5. Bregman, 6. I mean,
it's a deep lineup.
And I'm starting the season.
And some ball players, infield defense better.
And I'm starting the season under this without Soto. Dominguez, 9th. That's assuming that he's not the real deal, which I'm not prepared to say that he's not.
Now,
he very well might be a superstar as a hitter. He can run.
How about you do it with Soto?
All right.
Minus either Walker or Bregman.
Okay, at that point, who do I deem more important? I'm going to probably say I'll pass on Walker. I think the more pressing need, even though Jazz played some third, I'm going to mess around and play Ben Rice at first. If Soto's back,
And DJ.
Yeah, well, okay. I got that's true. I hear you. Lefty, right, whatever. And go with Bregman at third. So at that point, so you're saying Soto's back. All right, Volpe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
One. Soto, 2.
Yes.
Judge, 3.
Now you're talking.
Uh-huh. Wells, 4. We'll go.
You go Bregman.
I'm thinking Bregman or Stanton, but I'll go Bregman, 5. Stanton, 6.
See, you go Jazz behind him, and he gets Stanton out of there.
Oh,
now,
that's right.
Now you're really talking.
I'm forgetting about Jazz, too. That's right. So, and listen, Jazz batted some games 4th in the World Series. So, I mean, do I think they'll drop him 6 or 7? No, I don't. And I actually think, you know, there's a couple things that Jazz Chisholm needs to tighten up. I'm very excited by what he's going to be, or who he's going to be, a full year here. I mean, you know, we underrate being thrown into a pressure cooker from the most moribund franchise in baseball, for the most part, with zero pressure and no fans.
You still have a lot of question marks, though, even with Soto and Bregman.
Okay, but where are the massive question marks?
Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, first base.
Well, I got you. Now, Volpe's a question mark as a leadoff hitter, not necessarily as a player.
No, but you...
He's a major league player.
Understood, but you need him to produce at a high level. Like, he's not just looked at as, like, some bit part. Especially in this scenario now, without Gleyber, they are going to need Volpe to be a productive offensive
player. I don't disagree with that.
In any scenario you draw.
Yeah, true, but now, okay, Torres was good for the last couple of months. You don't think, but he has a low on base percentage. You don't think Jazz can get on base 32, 33% of the time, which would be higher than Torres?
I don't love him as a player. I love his athleticism.
Love him as a player?
Nah, I don't.
He's still 40 bases. It's 25 bombs.
Yeah, that I like. I like the athleticism.
That's a lot.
Well, I also wouldn't be batting him cleanup or top the order. There was a point where I thought I would do that.
Yeah.
And now in your lineup, you could have him hitting lower, which is fine.
I mean, ideally, I love him 5 or 6.
You know,
probably
all right, well,
6.
What's Wells? Like, do we know what Wells is
yet? We don't, but listen.
Dominguez,
I think Wells is going to be. I think he's going to be an all-star.
Yeah.
I do. What does that mean now? Nothing. But his swing and his power, he's a player. He's going to be around for a while.
I think they need to bring Soto back. And the only issue there is you bring Soto back. Where is Judge playing?
Well, you've got to make sure
put him in
outfield.
Left. So if you put him in left, fine. But
Dominguez in center.
Right. But now you have your first lineup without Soto, significantly better outfield defense.
That matters.
Now, you bring Soto back, there's no Verdugo, Judge is going to be in left, and Dominguez, all three, Judge in left field, who knows?
Yep.
Soto in right, we know, not very good, and Dominguez in center, who knows?
It's a bad defensive
outfield.
Boy, I don't know what happened in those couple of games where he was just a wreck out there, but before those few games, we were sitting here saying, he's going to be the center fielder.
Right.
So are we over... Listen, I know some of us overreacted to the 8 or 9 games he played the year before. Is it possible that we're overrating to a couple of misplayed pop-ups?
Yeah, very possible. Justin's in Asbury Park. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. What's happening, man? Sal, I'm sorry. This is not going to be a positive call for you. It's about how you guys deliver information. BT, I like to compare you to like a protein shake, right? It's tough to digest, but overall, it's good for you. It takes a while, but it makes sense. Sal, you're like a salty pickle shot. It sounds like it's interesting at first, maybe fun, but it always ends up in hurt and disappointment.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I won't even acknowledge.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to.
I don't. So here's a guy who's defending John Carl Stanton. Hey, you like John Carl Stanton? Good for you. Look at his numbers. Look at how many games he plays. I love somebody to debate the fact that John Carl Stanton's a good baseball player. And I already know what you're going to say. Hey, look at what he did in October. Look at what he did in October. Well, if he was judged off of what he did in October, then that would mean you wouldn't want Aaron Judge back, right? So who would we'd rather have John Carl because he plays five games a year, but in October, he might be able to hit you some home runs against, of course, less than pitching. But he might be able to hit you some home runs. He also can't run the bases, doesn't have a position, strikes out way too much. I mean, you want John Carl, that's fine. You don't think it's a good idea, that's fine. Guess what? I've been already proven right. You, and I'm talking to you, Justin, and the callers who believe in John Carl Stanton, have been proven wrong. Like, there is no debating that. You could have your opinion on whether you think he should stay or not. I didn't want him from 2018. I've been proven right many times over the course of the last 7 years. If you wanted him, you were proven wrong. And now you're doubling down on something that, go back to as recent as before the postseason, where both you and I, BT, were in agreement. We didn't even want Stanton playing.
I wanted him benched. I told Susan I didn't want him to play against the Royals.
And then what happened? He hit a couple of home runs. Yeah. And what? Everybody's like,
well, Susan texted us.
Do you want him benched now? Everybody's saying, well, guess what? Yeah. Yeah, I still think the Yankees could have done better by not having Stanton on their team. I'd rather have Kike Hernandez on my baseball team than John Carl Stanton. Now, it doesn't have to be one or the other necessarily, but when you're built the way the Yankees are, Stanton is taking up a roster spot and causing them to financially not be able to go get a different, potentially better player over the last 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was a redundant player to what they had, a big, hulking, tall, right-handed outfielder when they already had Judge. After the 2017 year, you didn't need another one in Stanton. And it prevented them from getting Bryce Harper or other, and Manny Machado, whatever other players that they could have gotten. And he doesn't even play. So, I mean, you want to love John Carl Stanton? Good for you. You can. Enjoy another World Series-less year.
And by the way, there's a way to, and this is my path, we can respect Stanton as we do, but also realize he's a hindrance.
Yeah.
I mean, when Stanton's a luxury, that's a good thing. When he's a necessity, that's not.
Right.
And he's been here for a long time, and he's comported himself like a pro, but we want to win.
For the Yankees, he does not fit. For another team, he can be useful to provide power. That's not what the Yankees need.
Yeah.
They need more ball players. And if you want Soto and Judge back, then you certainly don't even have enough room for John Carlson.
You know what's crazy?
Hoff has a, yeah.
Who got that?
What do you got, Hoff?
There's
got
to be an NFL trade, Hoff.
Well, look who's on McAfee right now.
Hey, it's our
Rogers.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Rogers.
And they just about 2 minutes ago announced that he's trading one of his buddies, Mike Williams.
Where's he going?
He's going to the Steelers for a fifth rounder.
Yeah, and he'll catch a touchdown in the divisional round, and they'll go to the Super Bowl or the conference championship.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
I mean, all right, so whatever.
He'll be a good player for them.
He will be. The only thing that worries me, you know, on the lowest level of fear, is that Al Lazard still hurt.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you can't be shocked by this when we all kind of knew that it was coming.
I'm not, but I'm
How
shocked.
How serious is the injury to Lazard?
He's going to be back in about 3 weeks. It's a chest injury, but these 3 weeks define the season.
Right.
I mean, if they don't win these next 3 weeks, it's over.
Yeah, well, right.
Or at least
starting
the next three.
I mean,
so you don't have Williams. You don't have Lazard. Now, you might say, well, the way Garrett Wilson looked recently in Devontae, yeah, maybe you don't. I understand why they trade. I'm not really surprised. And I do think, and this applies to the Giants as well, like you hear, what fifth, sixth round pick, what is that going to, well, what it could do in theory, whether it's Joe Douglas or the next GM, or Shane or the next GM, it allows you to take maybe a third rounder and then take the fifth or sixth rounder you get for trading a piece that you don't really want or need, combine it together, and move up maybe into the third round. So that's draft equity stuff. It doesn't matter today.
Right.
Fifth round pick, Mike Williams, big deal. I mean, but it could help you when they're drafting, but... Yeah, when they got him, it was a bit of a risk. He was on the pup. He wasn't ready to go. I thought it would work out a little bit better. I was surprised he never got any synergy with Rodgers, but he's moving on.
Yeah,
what do you
think? And you shouldn't need him with Devontae and Garrett anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to make or break the Jets season. All right, BT and Sal and the family, come back. We debut a new segment here on the show as we go around the NFL. Looking forward to it.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
one hits the holes harder than BT and Sal. It's time to jam it up the A-gap.
Here we go. We jam it up the A-gap right now with our best takes from the week in review. In this case, it's week 9. We had to come up with something great. You all right?
Yeah, what I had happened? A piece of paper in my mouth that I swallowed.
There was maybe another chunk of the pen over there.
No.
We went.
Let's start jam it away here.
Yeah, you coined the phrase. I figured let's jam it up the A-gap right now. All right,
I'll
start.
Where did that even come from? Jam it up the A. When did I say that?
I don't know, but hey, they made use of it. We're going to make use of
it. That's right. Let's go.
Jam it up the A-gap with BT and Sal. All right, the first one for me that stands out from Week 9. Uh-huh. We just have a couple of bullet point type things here. Detroit's dominance. We alluded to it with Baldy, but then I know that they were a good team coming in, so it shouldn't surprise anybody. That type of win on the road in that weather against the Packers, who was supposed to be, you know, a tough team at home, and the Lions smashed them in the mouth, ran right over them. I think Detroit's dominance stood out to me from Week 9.
That's a good one. I thought about that. To me, now Tua's been back for a couple of games, and the Dolphins are 2-6. Their offense looks a lot better, obviously, but I don't think Miami wins more than 6 games. Like, I'm actually looking at their schedule. They're 2-6 now, as I said. Now, the Rams aren't great, but they're certainly better than we thought. They've got to go out to L.A. They've got to go out to Green Bay. They got to play the Texans in Houston, and they've got to play San Francisco. So what happened, you know, this Corvette of an offense that they generally have when Tua is healthy, it sacrificed some defensive pieces just based on the salary cap. So they're 2-6. I believe that they win 6 games or fewer the rest of, like, in total. Like, they're a 6-11 team or possibly, probably not worse, but I think they finished at 6 wins.
Terrible disappointment. What a freaking mess.
Not for me. I need that from the Jets' perspective. Yeah, I love when the Dolphins stink.
Second one for me, and this one bothered me because it pertains to our perfect parlay pick segment.
By the way, did you see what happened this past week?
Yeah, I did. You won again. I saw, and we'll get to it on Friday.
Spot.
Yeah, here's what bothered me. Geno Smith still stinks. What is he doing in the red zone? You had the Rams in that game.
I did.
Yeah, and I'm rooting for the Seahawks. I'm like, come on, you're following along, because I knew that you took the Rams, and I thought you hit the others. I wasn't 100% sure.
Miami getting 6.
And you had the
and
over.
And the over in the, I believe, the Raiders game.
I actually
Ravens.
I thought you had the over in the Miami game. I wasn't sure, but I knew you were. I just knew that one, and I was rooting for the Seahawks to win that game, because even when you picked it, I was like, I don't know. Seattle might be tricky there. And they would have been had Geno Smith not stunk in the red zone. So, look, once a bad quarterback, always a bad quarterback. And I'm not getting caught up in, oh, Geno's this and the Jets made a mistake. He's borderline serviceable, but it showed you that game in the red zone, he's still no good.
Well, I mean, Seattle's going nowhere.
Yeah.
He's interesting. He's not really beyond interesting at this point. Like, he's fine. He's good. I think there was, and by the way, I think that he earned some of that praise, like, early when he was still down. He was flat out bowling, but some of those picks he made were Jet-like. Number two for me is Denver here, all right? So, if the season ended today, the Broncos are a playoff team. Got news for you. They will not be a playoff team. They are 5-4. Matter of fact, I don't even think Denver finishes 500. I think they finish 8-9, which would represent, if you look at the 5-4 record, that is a colossal, that's a 3-5 finish. That is an implosion right there. They've yet to play the Kansas City Chiefs. You got to look at this stuff. Oh, wow, Denver's so good. Oh, what an amazing, and it is an amazing story. Good for Bronco fans, and Peyton's doing his thing out there. When you've yet to play the Chiefs, and you're 5-4, and it's November, I'm not saying you can't be excited, but a little perspective here, and this is my reality for Denver fans, it's not going to end well. You have to go to Cincinnati, got to go play Harbaugh's Chargers out there, so a 3,000-mile trip. I believe that Denver finishes below 500.
Okay, and I'm going to stay in the AFC West for a final one. And by the way, it doesn't have to be two or three each week.
Yeah,
whatever
you.
We have. I have one more on that. The AFC West, the Chargers are legit. You look at their – now, you know I like them coming in because of Harbaugh. Herbert, all of a sudden, starting to throw the football. They've got a nice balance. Dobbins has been a beast running it. You look at their three losses. They're 5-3 after dismantling Cleveland on the road. Now, Cleveland's no good. We understand that. Their three losses. At Pittsburgh in Week 3, they lost 20-10. Home against the Chiefs, they lost 17-10. At Arizona, they lost 17-15. Those are three tough teams to play in, tough spots. Two of the three on the road, the other Chiefs. I think the Chargers are going to be a problem in the AFC. You look at their schedule looking ahead, it's still going to be tough. Home against Tennessee this week. Then they got the Bengals who are starting to right the ship. That game just got moved to Sunday Night Football in place of the Jets and Colts. They have Baltimore, Atlanta, at Kansas City, the Bucs, Denver. They have a tough schedule here, but I do believe the Chargers could be a problem in the AFC, and even more so maybe specifically, BT, to a team like the Chiefs. If they face them, that's a dangerous team that could run it. that is going to be well coached and not beat themselves, and that has a quarterback that can make plays, look out for the Chargers. And if not this year, next year the Chargers are going to be a real threat in the AFC.
There's a reason why Jim Harbaugh almost always wins right away, and it's because he has the same system. And at least in the NFL with the Niners and now the Chargers, he brings in Greg Roman to run the offense, and it's a very, I'm not going to waste anybody's time because I can't even really explain it myself, but it's a very complex, very effective run scheme. And, you know, when you run the ball, tick, tick. Remember Chris Berman, tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
Now it's more ball control,
field position,
old school. But unlike, and Alex Smith had good seasons for him, and obviously Kaepernick did as well. But Herbert, now you've got the ability to, like, if they happen to fall behind early, you know, to like a couple of touchdowns, at least you don't have to just like inch your way back. Herbert could still gash you. And I like what you said about J.K. Dobbins. That's one of the best under the radar pickups.
Yep.
Ruptured his Achilles.
Yep.
Got hurt right away early last year with the Ravens. He's had 5 yards a carry, 6 touchdowns, no fumbles. He's been really good for the Chargers.
And Jim sure had some insight from his brother John, who coached Harbaugh, even though he couldn't stay healthy, who coached Dobbins.
That's
even
true.
Though he couldn't stay healthy with Baltimore.
About that. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was a smart pick. Look, some guys know what they're doing. Jim Harbaugh, and John too, but Jim in this particular case knows what he's doing. The Chargers are going to be dangerous.
My quick thing here on my third observation, you know, we debated Odell versus Garrett Wilson, degree of difficulty. I'd say who the real winner is. I've never seen somebody jump backwards over people. What Saquon Barkley did on the field the other day? I mean, you could take the sickest dunk from whomever, the sickest grab from whoever. Gretzky's crazy, Lemieux. I mean, any sick goal in hockey. Who the hell can physically do that?
I've never seen it
backwards.
Before. Yeah, I've never. It's just
it was
all
crazy.
for the spin.
Yeah,
and then into a backwards. That is like
it was like Rey Mysterio or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
You're not kidding. I don't. I was gonna say like video game type stuff. No, what video game has a player hurtling
the option?
Yeah, hurtling somebody backwards like that.
That was insane.
And the uniform looks sick.
He
Kelly
does,
Green.
I like those unis. He looks good.
He's looked great. I still think the Giants made the right
Me
move.
Me too.
And they're better off. They run the football better now than they did with Barkley, but he's been a human highlight reel. All right.
Yeah.
And there you go. First edition of Jamming Up the Egg.
Right.
You like that?
Well, I like jamming.
Yeah. Nobody hits the holes harder than BTSL.
Yeah.
It's time to jam it up. Hey, we needed a way to come up with a...
You don't have to tell us twice.
Yeah, BTSL, the fan will come back. Have your calls, call of the day as well. 888-808-1019.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. BT and Sal back on The Fan. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
I'm going to throw a couple teams at you. You tell me if you can envision them being in the Super Bowl, okay?
All right.
Bills.
Yes.
Steelers.
Yes.
Commanders.
I don't think they're good enough defensively, but offensively, you can't get that quarterback or that team to make a mistake. They've turned it over 3 times in 9 games. They just don't beat themselves. And when you do that, they've got 2 games with Philly coming up. You'll know a lot more about them, but... they don't beat themselves right now, and that makes you a dangerous team.
Falcons.
They can. I mean, Bijan had a great game last week, and he's complimentary to what Kirk is doing. They're getting better as the season's going on. I'm not sure defensively if they're quite there yet in a big game in a postseason.
Yeah, and obviously I left off a bunch of obvious ones like Kansas City, Baltimore.
How about the Jets? Come on, BT.
Well, that's the most obvious.
Boldy, what do you think? Jets could be a Super Bowl team if they get in the postseason or what?
Let's see if they can get by Arizona first. You know, and if they can play well against Indianapolis and Seattle at home. Let's talk at Thanksgiving, see where they're at.
Yeah, at least it wasn't a hard no right there, BT, from
our
pal Boldy. A couple things before we finish up here on the phones. Jason Kelce, did you see him?
Oh, God almighty. We
didn't even talk about him throwing the phone down.
Yeah, I didn't really care. The kid deserved it. He deserved to get cracked is what he deserved.
Agreed. So I thought Kelce slamming down the phone was
nothing.
It was okay in my book.
Me too.
And then last night, he goes on this apology thing at the beginning. Like, you think he murdered somebody.
It was awkward. First of all, he didn't need to apologize that much. He didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, I mean, literally, I don't know, certain states, I'm sure he could, destruction of property, whatever. Yeah, that kid deserved the fist down his throat, is what he deserved. And that's a big fist coming at you if Kelce would have elected to do that. So I give Kelce a lot of credit for showing the restraint that he showed. But then last night, it's just going on. He's groveling. Like, you really would have thought that he got caught with heroin or a hooker and he's married at 2 in the morning or he's drunk driving. Well, like, the apology was so effusive and just so over the top. And then everybody on set is like, yeah, man, I feel you. It's all good. Like, you don't, like, he didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Don't worry, man. We got you.
I felt like they were trying to.
By the way, he didn't even need to address it there.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's a social media thing.
Yes, yes. Well, they're thinking he's an employee and it's an extension, which I think certain situations you do have to start broadcast that way. Like, if there's something that's really egregious, you can't run from it. You've got to address it. You've got to attack it. That's PR 101. Get, especially now where you can move. But like back in the day, the news cycle was longer. Now it's people going to move on to the next. I don't know anybody that had an issue with what Jason Kelce did, if you actually know what happened.
Right.
So I actually loved what he did.
Right, me too.
Except last night when he was apologizing, I don't know.
It was the greatest spike that I've ever seen when he threw down that phone. I mean, which one of us wouldn't have wanted to do that? See, I think we've gotten to a point, and it's not about freedom of speech, certainly not that, but I think we've gotten to a point now in life where too many people get away with disrespectful stuff.
Yep.
That they film on their phone and think that it's okay to go up to anybody and be total disrespect because they want the attention on social media and they do it for videos or views or clicks. It shouldn't be accepted. Now, legally, I guess it is, but it shouldn't be. And because of the way that the technology has evolved and media has evolved, maybe some of those laws should change.
I have said that forever. I really have.
It shouldn't be legal to go harass somebody and film it, and then if you take the phone and smash it, or if you punch the person in the face, you're the one who's in trouble.
I'm with you. I think, and this is, you know, this is down the road, deeper, off the radio sports talk conversation, but to me, it is a massive part of the erosion of the civility that we once had in our, now it's never been perfect, clearly our country, obviously, dating back to day one. But there was at least a respect and a line that people just didn't cross because it was taught to you and you saw how your parents acted. And even if you messed around as a teenager, like which we all did, the important lessons that we learned from our parents and our grandparents before that, It was carried through life, and now there's just no regard for what anybody thinks, and it is so bad.
It's a lack of respect.
The phones are one of the biggest culprits, and the saddest part is that disrespect makes you a lot of money because you make money doing this by being an influencer, and I'm not saying you're an influencer by being disrespectful, but the more views, the more clicks, it is such a mess. The more I think about this, I wish Kelce would have hammered him.
I know, but you also understand why he can't do that. Like, you know, I know. I'm just saying, like, there should be a law in place to where it shouldn't have to get to the point where Kelce, you know, wants to clock this
guy. I already have the name of the law, and I think both sides of the aisle will hopefully sign off on this. It's called the free pass law. If somebody does that, you get a free pass. Honestly.
You got my vote.
Everybody gets a free pass. Where's to unload on somebody being a jerk and being disrespectful.
Where's my sticker? I'll vote for you. No,
With no repercussions.
Yeah, well, it's just about a lack of respect. If somebody is being disrespectful to another human being and trying to video it, dude, you've seen these things, like whether it's on TikTok, whatever.
I've seen it all.
People going up to people and scaring others at the supermarket. Like, you think that's funny? Like,
no.
It's not. It's stupid. Oh, look at this. This is great. No, it's stupid. You're an idiot for watching it, and you're even dumber for doing that to somebody. And you should get punched in the face. That should be, you're right. Like, it should be a free pass. But you can't do that, unfortunately, with the way that the law is. And I thought Kelce was fine slamming the phone.
But you know what? Yeah, and me too. But let's say Kelce, he's such a big dude. I mean, he really could hurt him. So I want to keep it within the parameters of possibility here. I want him to go to jail. But let's say he pushed him forcefully with two hands.
Yeah.
Like, pushed him.
Kelce pushed the other guy,
Pushed him. Right. And maybe even broke the phone, but maybe didn't. But pushed him. We heard what he said. Pushed him hard. He hit the floor. Didn't hit his head, thank God. Nothing fatal, nothing bad. But pushed him and was aggressive. I actually think that Kelce would have been lauded for that. Now, you'd have some... I really do. I think that that the court of public opinion, I can't prove this, but I'll tell you how I would have said,
public
nice job.
Opinion, I think, wanted to see the kid get his face smashed.
Well, what else matters now more so than on a lot of levels, the court of public opinion? The court of public opinion defines what happens to people. Like if you do if you put a crass joke out there, and hopefully people understand you can't do this anymore and there are repercussions, but if you put a joke out on social media and there was a problem with this early on in social media, the court of public opinion, the retweets, the engagement to the boss, hey, you're going to let this person stay employed. The court of public opinion defines generally what happens to that person. And I think that there's a bit of a recalibration, at least I hope, in the minds of society, where if you act like that, then what happens to you has to be deemed more acceptable. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and again, I don't even have a problem with Kelsey. Like, I can understand why he's remorseful and like, I shouldn't have done it. No, but you put yourself in his shoes. You don't want that attention. You don't want that backlash. You got to be above it. Unfortunately, like, as much as you'd like to say, yeah, you'd like to knock the guy out or smash his phone, whatever, you got to be above that. That's just how it is. And in the moment in time, he lost his cool. He's not proud of it. So the next day, being like, hey, you know what? I screwed up. But the way that they went on and on.
Oh, my God. It was for 2 minutes, groveling.
It was bad. It was, even I was like, come on,
Sal. Now, I don't know this, but, and this maybe is more of an issue that I have with this. Like, if Kelsey just retired, and yeah, even if he was funny, and, you know, the speech when they won the Super Bowl, and he's got this wacky guy that everybody, or a lot of people love, and instead of being on ESPN, he had a camouflage jacket, and he just disappeared. And he went hunting, right? But he went to a college football game, and this happened.
Yeah.
Is he apologizing so profusely? My answer is no.
Probably not.
So to me, he's apologizing to keep his job, and which he shouldn't have to do, because there's nobody in their right mind that would even consider firing him
for
that.
You think ESPN made him do that, you're saying?
I think it didn't seem like that. No,
to me.
I don't think that they made him do it. I think that was his way. He's early on at ESPN. It's like he's been there for 10 years. He's not Stephen A.
Right.
You know, I know his brother's very famous, but you know, Travis eventually hit or miss, whatever. That ship's gonna leave the port at some point.
Right.
He's not gonna be as interesting as some people find them now. So I think that by him apologizing, which I get, self-preservation is an important thing in society, but I think it was more like him in his own way placating his employer preemptively.
I think he genuinely felt some remorse.
Well, he shouldn't, because that kid was a jerk.
Understood.
He shouldn't.
I understand, but guess what? If somebody comes up to you and starts doing that, you and I, and videoing us, hey, you guys suck, screw you, and blah, 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 and was talking about our wives or mothers or kids.
I wouldn't apologize for that.
No, I know, but you take that to the bank,
I wouldn't apologize for that.
I know, but guess what? You can't do anything about it.
Well, I could take his phone and smash it, and I wouldn't apologize for it.
You'd probably get in trouble.
I would not get fired. If that happened to one of us, there's no way we'd get fired for that.
I'm just saying that it's a messed up world with the way the law is.
I agree, but all right, you pay for the phone, maybe you get hit with a little summons. Big deal. I'll live with that. Honestly, I'll live with that. I'm not saying raising hands. That's different. That's more criminal. That's a real criminal act. Yeah. Taking his phone, he deserved. He deserved more.
All right. We'll be back at it tomorrow again at 10 a.m. Thanks to everybody who listened and who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.